Shavua Tov Agutvach. This is Rabbi Kovacs for the 16th of Adar Rishon. The Mishnah Yomi is starting the third chapter of Nedarim. Now, up till now, at least the last chapter, we're talking about a utterance, words that are kind of incomplete or vague, and sometimes that's a neder, a legally binding vow, and sometimes not. And now we're going to get into situations where the words spoken are effectively a vow, but he didn't mean it, or there was a mistake, as we're going to see in this chapter. Arba'a nidarim, there are four vows, hitiru chachamim, that our sages released them. Now, what this means is a person who made such a vow, as we're going to see, due to the circumstances, they don't even have to go to a sage or a court and seek annulment. They're automatically annulled. Nidrei ziruzin, a neder made to urge action from someone else. Nidrei havai, a neder of exaggeration. Nidrei shagagot, a vow that involves mistakes. Or nidrei onsin, a vow that's onus, that's circumstances beyond someone's control, like not a voluntary neder. So nidrei zeruzin ketzad, what is this first category? Vows made to, you know, zrizut is going quickly. Vows made to make somebody else take a quick action. What are we talking about? Haya mocher chefetz, he's selling an item in the shuk. V'amar konam, and he says, I'm making a konam. It's a lashon of neder, a ban, a vow. She'eini poichet lucha min a sela. I will take no less than a sela. And a sela coin is worth 4 dinar. V'holo, and the other guy in the shuk, they're bargaining. Omer, he says, konam, I'm taking a neder. She'eini mosif lucha al a shekel. I will not pay you a penny more than a shekel, which is worth 2 dinar. So the seller is making a neder, he won't go lower than 4, and the buyer is making a neder, he won't go higher than 2. But the Mishnah explains, Shnehem rotzin b'shlosha dinarim. Both of them would be willing to settle on a price of 3. So they're using a vow to strengthen their bargaining position in the shuk as they haggle over a price, but it's not a binding legal vow because they really, it's just made to urge the seller or the buyer to change their mind about price, but really that's not really their limit of price. They'd be willing to take 3. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov adds a case like this, Aferotze lahadir et chavero sheyochel etzlo, someone who's trying to get his friend to eat at his house. He's trying to invite him for Shabbos, and the friend keeps refusing. And so then eventually the inviter says, well, I'm making a neder. You can have no benefit from me whatsoever if you do not accept my invitation. So it's clear his intention isn't to make his friend completely forbidden to have any enjoyment or anything with him. It's to urge him to come and they'll have lunch together. Now, the Mishnah changes topics suddenly, and the Gemara explains what's going on is there's actually words missing from the Mishnah that should be read as part of the Mishnah. Omer, one says, Kol neder shani atid lador hu batal. Any vow that I will make in the future is batal, null, and void. Bevajhe zocher bishat haneder. But this only works if he remembers at the time he made the neder. And in the Gemara, they actually add in the words, Harotze, one who wants, shelo yitkaimu nedarav, koleshana, that his vows will not be binding for the entire year. Yamod b'Rosh Hashanah, he should stand up on Rosh Hashanah, the Omer, kol neder shni'ati lador hu batal. So they say Rosh Hashanah, the Mefarshim bring that the custom in many places was to do this Erev Yom, at the very beginning of Yom Kippur. We call it kol nidrei v'asarei v'kayamei, etc. All of those are kinuyim, which we learned about in the very first mission of this Masechta, for neder or shavua. So when we get up and do kol nidrei, we are making this exact declaration that we're learning about in today's Mishnah. It's a way to make nidarim and oaths to be not legally effective for the rest of the year. The Mefarshim point out it doesn't have to be on Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur. It could be at any time. Now, this last part, he has to remember it when he made the neder. That's a discussion in the Gemara. Because one opinion is, if he remembers it and he makes the neder anyway, then he wants the neder to override the condition and nullify the condition, and the neder will be valid. And another opinion is, if he remembers that he made this stipulation, this tanai, that the neder won't work, then he's making the neder just as a show, like a nidrei zeruzim, and he knows it's not going to work. The Shulchan Aruch brings that version in Yoredeya, section 210. So to find out what we actually do l'maisa, but in general, we not only rely on kol nidre, but we try not to make nedarim at all. People say bli neder, that they're promising, quote unquote, to do something without invoking the force of a neder. Let's go on to Mishnah Bet. Nidre havai. What are vows of exaggeration? Amar, he says, konam, I'm banning some sort of item like a carbon. Im lo ra'iti, if I did not see, b'derech hazay, on this road, k'yotzei Mitzrayim, the number of Jews who left Mitzrayim. He's saying, I saw 600,000 Jews walking down this road. So we can tell in this situation, it's an exaggeration. There have been instances, funerals of certain Gedolei Hador, funerals of great rabbis recently in Eretz Yisrael, where there were more than 600,000 people attending the funeral or coming out for it. So it's not necessarily an exaggeration, but under circumstances, we know it's an exaggeration. Or he says, "Im lo ra'iti nachash kekorat beit habad." If I didn't see a snake that was as fat as the pressing beam of the olive press, and that was a very, very large, heavy beam used to squish the olives, there's no such thing as a snake that big. It would be called a dragon in that instance. Nidre shagagot. What about vows on mistake? Im achalti im ve'im shatiti. So he says something will be forbidden to him, like a konam, like a korban, if I ate or drank. And he thinks he didn't eat or drink, and then he remembers that he had breakfast. Nizkar she'achav v'shota. He remembers he did so. He didn't remember at the time of the neder, so the neder was based on a mistake. Or he says, she'ani ochel sh'ni shote. He says this will be forbidden, it'll be konam, it'll be banned to me, if I will eat or I will drink today. V'shochach, and then he forgot all about that vow, v'achav v'shota. And he triggered the condition of the vow, but he had no idea at the time that that's what he was doing. So it's a shogig. It's a mistake. Another case of shogig. Amar, he said, konam ishti nehenet li. My wife is banned from having any benefit from me. Why? Shegonva et kisi. She stole my wallet. Now, as we learned about in Ketuvot, the married man is obligated to provide his wife food and clothing and also an allowance for extras and incidentals. So he or she went above and beyond, and she literally, he thinks, she stole the wallet. Or, shehiktot bni, she hit my son. Now, as an aside, we'll see in Masechet Makot in a couple of years that there were some very limited times when it was appropriate for a father or a rebbe to use physical discipline on a child. Modern sages say don't do it at all because it will not have the same effect that it had 3,000 years ago. So we do not use any sort of physical discipline. That's what I've heard. Your local rebbeim may vary. You can ask them personally, but that's just what I've heard from my rebbeim. But then Vinoda, and then he realizes it turns out Shalohika too. She didn't strike his son. Vinoda Shalonagavto. She didn't steal his wallet. It was just misplaced. So it turns out the neder was made by mistake. And therefore, it's shogeg, and it's not binding. Another case, ra otan ochlim ta'enim. He saw some guys out the window, they're eating from his fig tree. The Amar and the fig owner in response, he says, harei aleichem karban. Those figs are forbidden for you to eat, like they're a karban, like they're sacrificial, they're completely forbidden. Nimtzu, and it turns out, avi v'achiv. It turns, v'hayu imahem acherim. Turns out it was his father and his brothers who he wouldn't mind them eating the figs, and there were other guys there also. So this neder has a shogeg, has a mistake, because he wouldn't mind if his father and brothers ate his figs, he just minds that the other guys are doing. So what's the result here? Beit Shammai Omrim Hen Mutarin, the father and brothers are able to eat the figs, the vow's not binding on them. Moshe Imachim Asurim, but the other guys who were with them are forbidden to eat the figs, that part of the neder is binding. Beit Hillel Omrim Elu Ve'elu Mutarin. Beit Hillel says, both of them can eat the figs. Now, they probably shouldn't because they're kind of like stealing, but, and the owner has expressed displeasure here, but the vow is not binding because a vow that's partially a shogeg, Beit Hillel holds, is completely shogeg and is null and void. Yashar Koach, have a great week.